Our guest on our program today, Eli Steins, Boone Mayor. Eli, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me again, Jim.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor. Welcome. We had, again, day after a city council meeting. You had a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Actually, a lot of things.
Got a lot of business done last night. That's right.
The chief, Chief Webold, has a full contingent of officers.
Yep. Once again, the officer ranks are full. We swore in a new police officer, Shaw Sobolik, and he's a Boone native, and he spent some time in the Marines.
So he is
the force.
Gone and will be joining the force. I don't know. I didn't ask the chief if he had to go through the academy or anything yet, but there is that training that they do within the department.
Yep, and, departmental and training and things like that.
But. So.
He's hired.
He's got that going
in.
And we've got that filled out. And the one I knew was coming because this is the time of the year they do it. But Kids Club came in. And sizable program.
Yes, it's a very great program.
It started
after
out in
school.
Boone here at Page so many years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when they built Ledges Elementary, they had a space for Kids Club to be before and after school care. They are going to have National After School Month Lights On, I think it's called.
Yeah, Lights On.
October 22nd from 5:30 to 7. Great resource for our community. And they'll have food and things like that there at Ledges. So the community is invited.
I know they come in. Invite you guys. Well, they have Ogden, we've got Boone and United, and they all will do an event, but they want people to come out and see the services that they make available.
Yep, absolutely. They're rightfully proud of what they're doing for our youth.
So they got that done. You sold it, or you are vacating an alley. Okay, this is just so that they can build a county shed. This is the alleyway through the county shed, where the county shed is now, I think, isn't it? They're up in that area.
Yeah, the best of my recollection, it is.
So, again, this is all part of the county in the process of getting a new new shed here in Boone.
Yep.
That'll be coming up next year. But we do know that they have acquired a couple of parcels of property up there to kind of square off their property.
To make sure there's enough land and everything to get that built.
So we have all of that happening. So... That, and I gotta, this is the hard one to talk about, but the utilities.
Right.
This actually came up, I think you were on the
utility committee when
this
happened.
Came up.
Yep.
It had an issue to do with basically warm water not being moved.
Right.
And having a chemical reaction.
Yes, a TTHM cleaning agents in the water that we use to clean it out. And we sell water to Xenia Water District. Xenia had an alert for the TTHMs because their water doesn't go out as fast. It had sat in their lines and tank for a while longer. So it allowed that to bubble up and, become higher in concentration than was allowed. So we took that as a cue to say, hey, before that happens with us, we need to get to the bottom of this. And so we have a number of protocols in place that started, worked with the DNR for about a year, and we're monitoring the levels and things like that. They accepted our proposal for cleaning it, and we're working on some mixers for the tanks as well to keep the water moving is really what it is.
I think this is one of the big things here was working with U.S. Water. They had the expertise to come up with some ideas on how to deal with it and then put together a pilot program for the DNR.
Yep, the pilot plan for the DNR. The only issue is they will not accept a manual reading of the levels. They need some automated process, and so we're in the process of getting that put into place.
Not overly expensive. It's a $10,000, $12,000 system, but again, that's...
And the water revenues use that.
And it's one of those things that, again, people aren't going to really notice a change. It's just how they handle and work with the chemicals and moving forward with that.
Yep.
That was pretty interesting.
There's a lot of chemistry involved.
There was way more than I wanted to report on.
When we went through that whole thing a year ago, we had a real lesson in the water chemistry that we had needed to learn to understand what was going on with the cleaning agents and stuff like that.
That's, again, one of those things where I know we've work a lot with SEH, but having U.S. Water, who actually has the capacity and the people that probably have dealt with this, because they knew right away what they were dealing with.
Yeah. So they have a wealth of knowledge in those areas.
Committee last night, or the council last night, did have a proposal before them about the Boone Area Veterans Center. Of course, they are getting ready to... tear this down, the building at 8067th. They would like to, but did go through the process and had an inspection done for asbestos.
Yes.
They do have a substantial asbestos abatement that has to be taken care of.
Yep.
And council agreed to help support the effort.
Yeah, we had originally pledged $60,000 towards this effort for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's a great project for the veterans and their future. Number two, that building sits on top of Honey Creek or right beside it, so it's a real hazard to have that building right there. And so 50-50 from stormwater revenues and from our demolition account that we have, we're asked to contribute $20,000 more, half out of each of those funds, and gladly do that for the veterans.
I think one of the things that also the economic development had been working on, putting together some new... well, we'll call them templates, but actually new application forms that more coincide with what the state has from the Iowa Department of Economic Authority. They have a process or forms that they need for different grants. And,
that's right.
And you guys have kind of modeled yours after that right now.
So we're trying to streamline everything so that we can get more Catalyst grants in the future. We've been very successful in the past couple of years to receive Catalyst grants from the state. And we put some more provisions in there on clawbacks if the property is sold after 5 or 4 or 2 years, depending on the program that the applicant is applying for.
So, and for those that wonder about the grants, yes, you have had a sizable. I know you got some of the numbers.
I have a sheet here that
Andrea did the math.
I mean, yeah, this is a really impressive sheet. You know, we have city grants provided since January of 2023 at $243,000. And so almost all of those are BDIF. There's a little bit on the new business grant. The vast majority of them are in our downtown district. There's one, the Solar FX, that's down on the south side of town. But that was a little bit of a while ago. But yeah, $250,000 invested by the city into our businesses, our storefronts and things like that. And then $400,000 in state grants from the Catalyst grant, and we have a pending challenge grant for 6th Street Underground as well.
So, and people need to remember that these programs are reimbursements. So people are spending these dollars.
And that's not accounting for the amount of money that the business owners are putting in themselves either.
So that's pretty substantial. So again, like our BDIF grants, for the signs, it's a percentage up to a maximum of 30,000.
Percentage up to $30,000, that's correct. So there's definitely a buy-in from the business owners, but it's an assistance program to help leverage their investment to get more bang for the buck.
And since we've seen a lot of activity, we also had the council approving adding a few more dollars to that that program, the BDIF program. Another $50,000?
Another $50,000 to make sure that we are able to fund all the applications that are coming in and potentially have others down the road too, and council had no problem doing that with our current budget.
Talk about one of those projects, of course, that I know people ask, they probably have inquired from you a little bit what's happening with it, but that's the property right across the street.
Right across the street from City Hall, the Virginia Theater, 926 8th Street.
Yep.
So a lot of people have been asking me about that, and I'm finally able to tell them that we will have a design plan in 40 days, we're told. And so the owners of that building had some emergency work they had to do in Perry, where they're based out of, with another building that they own, and that took their attention away. But all of the exterior work is done. The roof is done, the windows are done, and things like that. So the rest of the work can be completed inside, out of the elements, and there should be no delay after they start working on it. So very glad to hear that news. I wish we would have a completion date at least estimated so we can know when we can go get some of that great food, but it's going along.
We like it, but at least, because people kept wondering, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, you get worried when you have a project like that. You don't see things happening.
They are doing that. Mm-hmm. We also had quite a report from the folks from the Parks Department.
A lot of activity at the parks.
I mean,
wild.
I'm waiting to go see how this new playground at Franklin's looking, because they are moving along pretty quick on this.
Yep, in a couple of days, it's supposed to be put together. There's going to be a huge wood chip spreading event that they're going to do as well. But yeah, up at Franklin Park, it's like a obstacle course type of equipment, but there's some more standard swings and slides and things like that too. It's a lot of equipment that's going into that park. And I know that people on the north side of town have been really anxious to get some new equipment in that part of town.
So I know that at least on that one, Mike said even the guys, the contractors, the company that manufactures this and sends it out, they have some new things in there. And he said some of the guys are going, we've never put this together before.
Yeah, yep,
so
yep, it's a new experience for them too.
So, but dry conditions, so they are moving along very quickly.
Yep, Mother Nature is really cooperating with this project.
So one of the other ones that happened, we did have Susie Thorngren, one of the park board members, kind of took it upon herself and with the support of the Park Commission, made contacts, and we had a dead tree removal day last
week. Dead tree removal, a lot of oak trees, some ash trees. Let's see, they had 26 trees taken down, 20 stumps ground out. Some are new cut, some are old. But six different tree companies volunteered their services: Central Home Solutions, D&J, Freedom Tree Care, Guy in a Bucket, Outdoor Image, and TNA Tree Service all came together to volunteer their expertise to help out. And there were volunteers from Rotary Club and from the E-Free Church serving meals and things like that. So it was a great community effort to help beautify our parks and get rid of some of those old trees. And R&W Power also gifted a case of bar oil for each of the tree companies. So that was a great thing for them to do as well.
They have to buy that.
They have to oil everything up. They have supplies, but couldn't thank those guys enough for doing that.
It was one of those things, and a lot of removal, a lot of wood removal getting out of there and stuff. And I know people are going, yeah, well, they get the wood for free. But yeah, they spent a lot of money
doing
that too.
Absolutely. So. And then trying to get those hazards away from the roads and where people congregate is the...
I know, and everybody goes, well, maybe we could do this every year. Well,
we'll
again,
see.
That's a sizable contribution.
It is.
In time.
It absolutely is. So if we're even able to do it once, that's a huge deal.
I think I had at least one of them just threw out a rough estimate of around $37,000 for the work that went in that one day.
So. Yeah, it's an incredibly skilled service that these folks are providing.
So again, big thanks to them and Park Commission for actually working on this and putting everything together.
Yep, it was a great initiative that the Park Commission took to do this as well.
All right, a couple other things that came up. We do know that we got the housing part. Villas at Fox Point.
Yes.
That part has been completed, the housing part.
The family housing.
Not the senior housing. That's still in the
progress. It's essentially two different projects altogether in one, and they had two different rounds of tax credits from the state that they applied for. So we closed out that first portion.
Council did go ahead and approve purchasing some property through, again, Boone County Economic Growth. They've been instrumental in helping with this. But we're talking about the extension of Hancock Drive to the east of Corporal Snedden.
Yep.
Proposal, again, was brought up at the previous council meeting. And, of course, last night we know that Bill Scare said he was off for walk-on because that's where the Department of Transportation was meeting. And had the RISE application in hand, a pretty substantial, you're looking for a pretty substantial amount to help with this project. It was somewhere around, about $4 million, I think?
Total, yep.
Total.
And then $3.5
million
was the grant portion from the state that would offset the 80% of that amount. And I did get word from Administrator Scare, who was over there this morning, and the application was voted unanimously accepted. And so that extension of Hancock Drive. And so we're talking about a strip of land that's going to be used to access the Daisy facility for truck traffic.
So, and I know he had, at the time when he said looking at doing this extension, he said the city would be responsible for whatever traffic control right in that area. But he did emphasize the DOT has been working on traffic control on 30.
Yes. So there are two components of this. The first component is a city street, which is Hancock Drive and Corporal Snedden. So we were talking about that previously with the grant from the state. And then we have another long-term plans from the DOT have been talking about making alterations to traffic control on Highway 30. They also announced at that same meeting that they would go forward with a roundabout at US 30 and Corporal Snedden.
So that's going to be their potential project.
That's a DOT initiative.
So speaking of DOT, of course, they also have had information on there. We knew at some point in time the South Lynn Median Crossing.
Yes, the South Lynn Median Crossing, they had a public meeting for that last night, but they had preparations to remove that median crossing for quite a good long time, and so they're moving forward with that fairly quickly this autumn.
So there will be other things they are going to be doing on Highway 30, folks. So.
Yep, they're doing a lot of work.
Yeah, and we know even one of the other ones doesn't really affect us, but western part of 30 from Ogden to the county line, they're talking next year having a project on that that will be a concrete overlay and stuff like that. So
giving a lot of attention to that highway.
Are they? They are, yes. All right, speaking of a lot of attention, you guys did have a lot of things related to your utilities, and most of it has to do with roofing right now.
Right, yeah. So we had the roofing projects that we paid out, those contracts, water and wastewater treatment plants. But we will have a work session. That is, all of our meetings are open to the public, public meetings. So we have a work session on our water and wastewater treatment facilities plans on October 17th at 5 p.m. at Council Chambers. So we're really looking at a 20-year plan for what do we need to invest in our water and wastewater treatment plants for the future.
This is one of those projects that I know what we've done right now is pretty much required maintenance on our facilities that we have now, roofing in particular. That was a lot of the things from last night, but both at the Water Environment Station and Waterworks. But we do know that we had draft plans that the utility committee had a chance to review and take a look at. A lot of information in those, lot. And it
has 150 pages each or something like that.
I know, and it's about projected growth, not just DAISY, but your residential growth.
Yes, residential, commercial, industrial growth, and also taking into account where we're getting our water from for the future to make sure that we have a consistent supply for all of our residents going forward.
So it's
one of our most crucial things to do for our residents.
People will say, well, you got your new plants, but they forget that was 25 years ago.
Yep.
And
parts of them are new, and we're going to continue to improve them as time goes on.
Yeah, I was going to say the council 25 years ago said, what are we going to be needing here in another 20, 25 years? Well, here we are.
We always have to prepare for the future with all of these investments.
All right. So that's just some of the other things that came up for the council last night. Okay, let's talk Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we
It's not really changing. You just were looking to get some consensus on
times.
Time.
Yeah, so I fully plan to keep trick-or-treating announcements on Halloween. And in the past few years, we've been announcing 5:30 to 7:30 as the times that people should go out for trick-or-treating. Had a couple questions about extending the times, and a council really didn't have a problem with messaging to start at 5 o'clock, so from 5 to 7:30. I think they probably would have been fine to go to 8, but it's pretty darn dark
at that time
of night. Yeah. So. Want everybody to be
safe. They might still be coming around about that time.
Yeah, might have some stragglers, and you know, it's not a hard and fast law or anything like that. It's just kind of a messaging and recommendation.
The recommendation that we have going on. Council did do your ordinance. Again, these have to do with the Southeast Boone Urban Renewal Area. This all ties into the Hunsucker Project, really, and some of the other work that's going on down in that part of the community.
Yep, so I'd have to pull those properties in under the urban renewal plan so that they can fit the rest of our scope.
Finish that up. Chief Weibold did throw out, gotta mention it, he's been visiting with DNR, he's been taking a look at other options, what we can do. He has an ordinance that he's going to bring to the council next meeting.
Yep.
About deer.
Yep. So feeding deer is a big problem. Causes them to move across their streets and things like that and cause accidents. And standing on the walking trail and being places where they shouldn't be when pedestrians and motorists are around. And so Chief Weibold is putting together an ordinance with recommendations from the DNR on an anti-feeding ordinance. So please do not intentionally feed the deer. It's not good for them. It's not good for their population. It's not good for our population.
Yeah. And I know they're taking a look with their drone and stuff like that. They're looking at deer population, what can be done. People need to remember any kind of suggestion for a controlled hunt. Let's just say, well, we should do it anyway. That is controlled by the DNR.
Yeah. There are certain things we can change in our ordinance, you know, about firing bows within city limits, but you're still relying on the number of tags that they have for the county, which is not a lot. And so if we wanted to do a more robust hunt anywhere, we would have to have data to bring forward to the DNR at their June meeting. And so we are able to actually gather that data ourselves from traffic reports. And now that we have a drone, we can do the deer study ourselves too. That'll save us a lot of money, and we can get more consistent results.
So something that, once again, still not off the table, but we will continue to look
gathering the data to understand where what and where the problem is. But we have a lot of people that are being, you know, businesses negatively impacted, people with their gardens being negatively impacted, and safety. Safety is the top one.
And the big one really besides that is don't feed the deer. That's going to be the recommendation to the council.
So. Yep.
All right. Got a few things happening there.
Just one or two. Yeah. Keeping us on our toes.
Actually, you almost went a whole hour there with that meeting.
Yep, we almost made it. We didn't have any public comment so this meeting, but at every meeting we'll have that available for you if you wish to come at the beginning of the meeting.
You have one more public event for for the rec complex. It's going to be at 6th Street Underground?
6th Street Underground has graciously offered to host a open house for more information, a respectful discussion about rec complex proposal that's on the ballot for November 5th. This open house will be at 7 p.m. on Wednesday.
Okay.
At 6th Street Underground.
Wednesday. 6th Street Underground.
Right next to the police station.
And did I already mention about we already did talk about right across the street.
Yes.
The Boone Veterans.
The Veterans Center will go right across the street.
There was just so many things last night. It was just a lot.
Yep.
Eli Steins, Boone Mayor, our guest on our program today. Thanks for taking time to come in and visit with us.
Thank you for having me.